Okay, we're going to talk about the best thing that I watched this year, hands down, in this episode of The Leadersmith. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, you are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So I promised you that I was going to talk about the best thing that I watched all year, and it's a video that you can find on Amazon Prime. It's entitled Mully, M-U-L-L-Y. Mully. Mully is a Kenyan man who became an entrepreneur. Now, he lived in a grass hut with his mother and father and siblings as he was growing up. His father was a fall-down drunk who used to beat his wife, and the parents abandoned him when he was like age 10. And so he became a beggar for 10 years. He was a beggar, and he hated his life. He said he wanted to die. He meets a preacher, and you know, just, I mean, as he's out begging, stumbling for food, he stumbles into a church, meets a preacher, realizes there is hope in this life. It's not all terrible. And this inspires him to walk from his rural village all the way, a three-day walk. He had nothing in his pocket, a three-day walk to Nairobi, the capital city. So one lady brings him in, gives him a chance, and you know, sees what a wretched condition he's in. He's just dirty, slovenly, and puts him to work doing certain chores. After 6 months, her husband gives him a job because he's proved himself. Her husband gives him a job as a manager of one of his businesses. And I mean, like, his life just dramatically changes at this point. So he's proved himself. It's almost like the story of Joseph in the scriptures. Like, you know, wherever he gets put, he's in prison, but he takes over as manager in the prison because he's proved himself. So he sees a need for example, a taxi service in town, and he starts one, and he improves and expands his business, and then he hires more drivers, and he just has this incredible vision. He starts a welding company, and he starts an insurance company and a real estate company and this company and that company. Eventually, he becomes a millionaire. He has servants. He's networked. He's powerful. But he forgets what it was like. In fact, he had the monopoly on oil and gas in Western Kenya. I mean, he was a big figure. But he forgets what it was like to have been on the streets. And one time he's parking his car, and some street boys, just like he was, you know, ask him, you know, for money. Hey, money. No, look, I don't have any money on me. And they steal his car. And, you know, he's struggling with this. Like, one, why didn't I give him money? What's, you know, God, why, you know, I made it to this part. Why do you have to bring me back to here? So he really, it affects him deeply. And he struggles with that. And he says, you know, he drove for hours and hours just on his own, just, you know, struggling with this, wrestling with how terrible this felt. Not that he had his car stolen, but being brought back to the reality of where he came from. And eventually, after 4 hours of just wrestling with God, he says, God, just use me, whatever your purposes are, I'll do it. And he says, he comes home to his family and he says, I've made a decision. I'm never going to do business, for-profit business again. I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to help street kids. And his family think he's nuts. Like, you know, what's he talking about? We have this really nice lifestyle. This is going to change everything. But he's serious, and that's what he's going to do. So he begins. He begins to sell off pieces of his business, and his family's kind of against it. They would want him to, you know, do your business and, you know, minister on the side. No, he's going all in. So he begins to go to the slums at night, and he's rescuing street children. And you know, first it's three, and then it's more and more and more. He sells his businesses. Soon he has 100 children living with him. He's expanded his own house. There are bunk beds in all kinds of rooms, bunk beds full of children. These are street children that nobody's going to take care of. And it's not like in America where, you know, we have a real welfare system that's going to take care of people. No, these people are, these children, many are going to die by age 5 if he doesn't do something and intervene. So soon he has more than 100 kids. Again, they extended the house. There's so little room that his own children are sent off to boarding school, which is a little strange. But he has hundreds of kids, and they call him dad. He treats them like a family. Eventually, they're, you know, he's run out of resources now, and he's running out of food. They pray, and a lady shows up with a truckload of food. I mean, it was an amazing thing to behold. So along the way, he's not just feeding them. He's, you know, expanding, trying to take care of more and more. So he builds, and as he builds, he, you know, teaches these children trades and metalwork and woodworking and gardening and all kinds of things in order to build and build in order to serve more people. There's no more room. They eventually run out. They have to move. So they move a few hours away to empty, barren, almost desert-like land where barely anything is growing, but he has a vision to build on this land. So he has his vision. He's going to grow fruits and vegetables. Well, that's hard when they're importing water. He has to drive 4 hours round trip to get enough water every day so that people can live. So it's just barren and desolate. So he goes and he finds he's bringing water in. Eventually, he needs to drill a well, but they tried to drill wells before and it didn't work. And so now they're, you know, kind of up the creek, metaphorically. I wish they had a creek. There's no place to get water from. Well, he prays. He feels that God has pointed him where to dig. They start digging. People don't believe him. Eventually, they break right through in exactly the spot where he felt, you know, God called me. Hey, look, go. There's going to be water here. And so there's clearly something going on. They tried again before, but now they have water. Now they're constructing a water purification system. They don't have to travel to get water. They create an irrigation system and begin to farm in a place that was desolate. They start planting trees. They planted over 1 million trees, and it changes the ecosystem where rain is actually more common because of the ecosystem. It's amazing. You have to watch this. So he tries to start being self-sustaining. He takes that entrepreneurial knowledge that he applied in business, which is not bad, but now he's taking this and applying this in this ministry of what he calls Mulli Children's Family. And there's now over 1,000 children. And he starts really thinking about taking that same experience from before. How can we build on, on this land? How can we build a product that will be self-sustaining, not rely on handouts from others, but actually be sustaining so we can do this more, do more. So they begin farming, growing vegetables. They're selling vegetables to the European market from this place because they've now started to build things with the irrigation system. They build a greenhouse, a hydroponic greenhouse. This rainwater is lending itself to fish farming and tree farming. Again, 1.5 million trees have been planted. And it's just amazing everything that they're doing. And so you just got to see this. In 2008, there's major civil unrest in Kenya. I don't know if you were paying attention to the news at the time, but major civil unrest. And they are actually bringing food from their farm to the refugee camps where this major unrest is taking place and feeding 2,000 children daily. They create all kinds of things. Beyond the self-sustaining farm, they have incredible education. They're number one. They're essentially homeschooling there. They're creating their own schools. They have a karate team there that participates in the Olympics. I mean, the Kenyan team for the Olympics. Their kids have become doctors, teachers, businessmen. They're now their own kids, not just the kids that they adopted, the thousands of kids that they have adopted, but their own kids are now essentially running this huge ministry to these abandoned children. A few have actually married some of the formerly abandoned children. And so, you know, Mulli has just done this world of good. 12,000, more than 12,000 kids have been rescued by Mulli over 27 years. This is one of the best things that I have watched in years. This is how awesome this is. Right now, there are 421 ratings on Amazon Prime of this video. 95% of those 421 ratings are 5-star, 3% are 4-star, and that leaves about 2% to be split between 3, 2, and 1-star. It's just an incredible video. The link is below. You want to watch this video, just believe me. And this reminds me of the verse that, you know, don't despise a day of small beginnings, because, you know, Mulli started with nothing and he grew it. And then God used him to take that same knowledge that he had to grow those businesses into taking care of these people. And you can too. You can take care of people wherever you are, whatever your circumstances. In fact, your job as a leader is to take care of people. Hey, thanks for your time. I hope you enjoy the video, Mully, M-U-L-L-Y, and I'll talk to you another time.